What up, what up, what up, what it is, what it do. It's your boys, Wilson and Lou, once again, back for the last time of the month. And, since we're running out of storage space in our monthly uploads, we can't get another review in. So, what we got for you guys tonight is what I like to call 23 megabytes of fun. You know why? Because we got 23 megabytes of upload space left. So I don't know what's about to happen. I just know it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be me and my co-host shooting the breeze, mostly comic related stuff. Some stuff might not be. Wilson, check 1 2. Let them know what's going on with these 23 megabytes. What you got for me?
All right, bet. So yeah, like Lou said, it's really just gonna be us shooting the breeze, talking about any and everything. One quick thing that I actually had was after we recorded our Flash review with Zan dropped a pretty nice knowledge question, little nugget of wisdom that he had that I haven't even considered for like years on years. He was like, "So, what do you think Darkseid did after he got the anti-life equation back in Justice League Unlimited?" And for those who I don't know who would forget what Justice League Unlimited was about, but Justice League Unlimited was that show, was that work by Dwayne McDuffie, right? And I think the well-repeated meme gif of Supes, talking to Darkseid about what we have here is a rare opportunity for me to cut loose in that crazy fight scene. If y'all haven't seen that, just YouTube Superman Darkseid fight JLU. But so after that, Darkseid still wins. He beats all the heroes, and Lex Luthor gives him what he's been seeking basically forever, the anti-life equation. So Zan dropped that question, and I was like, "Oh, I actually don't know." So I figured I'm gonna throw it to you,
I'll
Lou.
tell
What do
you
you think?
exactly what happened. Mother freaking Final Crisis. Because if that last episode of JLU did not happen, I would not be on this mic right now. Because JLU ended in what, like 2005?
Yeah, something like that.
And so JLU ended in like 2000. Six, I think, actually, because I definitely remember watching it in eighth grade. Final Crisis, the DC event that confused the minds out of many, but that I actually understand. Like, people talk about comic senseis. Final Crisis was my comic sensei in 2008. And the reason I picked up Final Crisis is because the entire premise of Final Crisis is Darkseid wants to enslave every living thing as we know it because this man found the anti-life equation. And I was like, oh snap, this is like JLU part two. Let me pick up a freaking comic book. And the rest was history.
That's dope. That's hella dope. That actually reminds me of the whole pilgrimage episode that we did way back. I think that's actually our very first episode ever. And you were saying that's what spurred you on. So, yo, listeners out there, whoever had that question similar to Zan, in a sense, JLU Darkseid discovering the anti-life equation created, Lucius Illuminus here as the comic book fan and savant that he is. So that's what happened.
Yep, somewhere on Earth, whatever number Earth we are, he inspired somebody to pick up a comic book.
Which is sick, yo. But yeah, now the other question that actually sparked from me, and it kind of deals with like another event ending, event changing, world changing, whatever thing is. Say Battle World didn't happen, and like we didn't have Secret Wars or anything like that in the Marvel U, right? Just let's assume that for some crazy reason, Doom got his way and Doom became the supreme leader of the world. How would that look?
I don't know how it would look as far as wellness. I just know it would look pretty darn gloomy. Like when Magneto formed Genosha, Genosha looked like a cool place to live if you're a mutant. Doom And his domain on Latvia looks like every one of my days is going to be miserable, man. I don't even know what he's doing. I feel like he can have me as an advisor in his palace. I would just look out the window and be like, dang, is this the world?
And now I'm trying to wonder, how would Doom get control of the world? Because, I wonder what series of events would have to go down for Doom to become supreme
I don't
leader.
know, but given we starting with Fantastic Four Origins, I feel like somehow he obtains the power cosmic. And he doesn't have the Silver Surfer who's lived with it his whole life and finds all that stuff sort of trivial. This man has risen to power, and we all know Doom is Doom. He will wield that junk in ways Silver Surfer be like, yeah, I knew I can do that. And everybody's like, you can do that? And I'm like, I never saw a reason.
Right? I feel like Doom is that one cat that'll like make amazing recipes out of like Franks and beans. And you'd be like, yo, you can make that from Franks and beans? And Doom would be like, yes, because I am Doom and Doom does all. You'd be like, damn, that was the best Franks and beans I ever had.
How do you say that? Because I'm watching that movie, The Chef, right now. Clicked it, I paused it, I got like 38 minutes left. And, people making stuff from nothing. That was what was just going on in my life. Okay. Since I'm taking a little bit away from comics, what you think about your man Cam Newton and this fire he's getting from the media from trying to be great in America?
Bruh, it's crazy. It's the most outrageous thing. And I feel like we were actually talking a little bit about this in one of our other groups, and I was like, Cam just being great, And everybody's always gonna be hitting him with the, oh, remember Walter Payton and Gale Sayers and Barry Sanders, those guys were classy. And I'm like, but Cam's just like having fun at work. That's sort of like if you were coming at me while I'm at the office. And I kind of got a little bit of rap music up too much, or I kind of got a little bit of rock and roll up too much. Like, this is what makes my day fun. How you gonna knock me for making my day fun? I'm not hurting anybody, right? But like his Beats commercial though, he was saying he's sorry that they don't make Band-Aids
Yo,
for hurt feelings. I was like, let's go, Cam. Let him know
bruh,
again.
Beats be having, they be finding the people that's future media targets and having these joints stockpiled just to press play. Because remember that Richard Sherman commercial dropped right after the Don't Try Me With a Sorry Receiver Like Crabtree. And I was like, yo, Beats just be sitting, they got them stockpiled for these moments.
Exactly. I feel like, yeah, Beats, they do find that way of, locating the lightning rod, polarizing type of public figure and just coming in and just bawling with it. And it's crazy, that is Cam. Well, I won't say it's crazy, like, it's a sad thing that it's Cam. It just kind of blows my mind that it's Cam, because, like, Cam does dope things for the, for, like, you know, for his neighborhood and everything like that. Like my man, he's hella big in the whole community service thing. It's just like at his job, I mean, playing in the NFL, being a quarterback, like that's his work, that's his job. Like he's finding ways to have fun at his job. You expect him to be all, just okay, here you go, boss. Like here's the ball. You know what I mean? Like, yo, he's an entertainer at heart also. Like I feel like
Be
people
happy.
forget
I'm not allowed to
that.
be happy if I'm winning.
Right, exactly. Everybody allowed to be
It's not
happy.
like he's
Anybody go.
walking up to other players' face and throwing balls at them and running at them. He just run
Yeah,
up and
he's just
down his
dabbing.
sideline smiling. Did you see that video? That joint was hilarious, especially
Yeah.
with the music in the background. He's just so happy.
Right? It's like when he, I feel like, I think it was the game against Tennessee. Was it against
Yeah.
Tennessee where he dabbed in the end zone and homeboy pushed him and he was like, I'm gonna dab again. I was like, yo, you can't knock him for being happy just because you mad. Why he gotta be mad? You know what I mean? And I love it. I need more of it. Just give me more. Shoot.
Yeah, I mean, you on the cam wagon here, folks.
Exactly. We selling high on cam. It's crazy though. I mean, and I love what he said in one of his pressers. He was like, he knows who he is. You know, he's gonna keep being him. At his root, he's good. Like, as long as he loves himself, he's gonna enjoy himself. You know what I mean? So that's it. And then he says people are fearful because they don't know what to do with him. You know what I mean? Like, he's scary. He's got that skill set. I mean, he's what, 6'5", 260? On a light day, maybe running like a 4.4 or something. Like, ain't nobody ever seen this before. You know what I mean? Throwing it like, it's just like laser accuracy.
Cam Newton inside the 10. What the heck do you ever do?
Yeah, I mean, you just give up that touchdown. Shit, he got 45 of them in the regular season. 35 passing, 10 rushing. You gonna give up that touchdown?
Cam Newton rolls out. You know, and you are a corner, isolated, one-on-one. You know, you drop, he tosses it over your head. You come down, you really want to tackle Cam Newton?
You ain't trying to get none of them problems, B. Yeah, think about it. If we did a momentum equation right now, you know what I mean? It's going to be unbalanced.
Cam, dip that shoulder, it's over.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it though. And it was a funny thing we talking about this is I think they had interviewed a couple of the Panthers players and they were like talking about the whole Super Bowl coming up, you know, with like Broncos and all that. So when the Panthers players was like, yo, we don't care if it's potentially Peyton Manning's last rodeo. He's been there, he's done that. This is our turn now. They was basically like, ain't no legacy and you know, all this like glory and lore of Peyton Manning. Like I love that part too. They're locked in it. There's nothing about being mystified about the Super Bowl for them right now. It's all about winning one more game. So I dig that. I dig that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, man. The Seahawks coming hard. They ready. I don't think that Denver really stands a chance.
Oh, yeah. Nah, I don't think Denver's really going to be seeing Carolina anytime soon in this game. As long as it's not a blowout, though. I mean, I wasn't expecting that blowout basically against Arizona either. I was like, ooh, damn.
I mean,
this was kind of surprising.
Remember Peyton's last Super Bowl?
Yeah, he did get. Yeah, Seattle did work him. Worked him well.
Yeah, he got his confidence, took safety real quick, pick real quick.
Just like.
Low key, I think Oss would have done better against New England. New England, it wouldn't have come down to the last play if Oss was in, I think.
Okay. You've been selling high on Oss for a minute, too, though.
I have. Just because his upbringing has been, he's been able to watch the game behind John Elway and Peyton Manning. You've seen Peyton from under center. Like, before that drive, if Peyton didn't have that drive and they won the same game, people will be asking a bunch of questions about Peyton Manning right now. But you know, I guess you know that our hearts out to Cam. Shout out to if the Broncos lose the Super Bowl, they'll be the only team to lose Super Bowls to a black quarterback because Doug Williams was there too.
Right, yeah.
Beat Denver.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice little history, you know, trivia question right there. You know, hit Trivial Pursuit. Only team to lose the Super Bowls to three separate black quarterbacks twice in one decade. Denver Broncos, give that man a cookie.
Yep.
I'm going to be hyped when that becomes a Trivial Pursuit question. If it does, I feel like it will become a Trivial Pursuit question, you know. I'm not saying I'm guaranteeing that, you know, Carolina's going to win, but I don't really see Denver winning.
Yeah, me either. So
it might be like if Carolina loses, you know what I mean, versus Denver winning. That's kind of like how I'm looking at it right now. But, you know, stranger things have happened. Yeah, man. Oh, shoot. I had another question, non-football related, back to comics real quick. When we were talking, when you mentioned the Power Cosmic and all that stuff, when you talk about F and basically Fantastic Four origin, then I was thinking about reading, and I started thinking about the Infinity Gems, and I was like, how you think they're breaking down the Infinity Gems for the MCU since they don't have the mutant rights or the Fantastic Four rights? So basically, those are like two gems that they don't really like have the legit origin of, because X had one, and then Reed had a couple.
I mean, the gems weren't there that way until after the first time they used the gauntlet anyway, wasn't it? Because that was after they did the whole Illuminati joint. And I don't know, because I like the they've got creative ways to do it. Like, I always thought if Guardians of the Galaxy didn't do well, they set up Guardians of the Galaxy where they gave themselves a smooth eject button. Like, dang, that movie was trash. Well, the Nova Corps is just gonna crash land during Infinity Wars. Ain't gonna have the power gem. It's a wrap. They had a backup plan.
Right, that's pretty smart moves too. And then the other thing I was thinking is, they have a they, since they had like the whole Ultimate Universe, and they've been mimicking a lot of characters via that Ultimate Universe, they kind of had that outlet too, where they didn't really have to stay with the 616,
Origins.
Origins. So that was pretty dope too, that they actually used Ultimate Universe type of stuff. So I'm trying to figure out. So we got the Ether, right? We got we had what was that joint? The Tesseract, right? We had what's the joint that we had Loki's staff, the joint that was in Loki's staff, right?
And then we have one more.
The joint from damn. Join from Guardians of the Galaxy. Didn't they just call it what? Did they just like they like outright said that was a gem, right? Didn't they just call it the Power
Oh
Gem, or
yeah,
did they just
they straight call it the Power Gem.
There's a lot. So those are we only seen. So we've seen four, right? So the joint on Loki's staff is that the soul or the mind gem? I always forget.
They don't actually say.
Right.
And your question really is, did they give Vision a soul or did they give Vision a mind?
Right,
That's
exactly.
such a
Did
hard question.
For real, yo? That's a hella ethical, like philosophical question. Like, was Vision given a soul or a mind? Because like, it's basically like the AI, Jarvis's AI essentially, was that a mind? Are we saying it is a mind, and then the gem gives him a soul, so he connects with humanity? Or did he get a mind, and then the soul was a part of it? Or what, like, what separates the two? And you're like, oh shit, we're not ready for this philosophical conversation.
Yeah, man. Okay. I had a. Oh. Spinning out of your Dune question, we've seen a lot of megalomaniacs in Marvel. So. Or people with visions for the world. So you got, like, Doom. You've got Ultimate Reed. You've got
Oh man.
Magneto. Who do you think runs the world the best? If they had a chance to take over the world.
Who runs the world the best? I feel like my choice is Magneto. If offered the opportunity to take over the world, he'd probably run it the best. Or he would be the least arrogant with his good intentions, because I always feel as though Ultimate Universe Reed, his arrogance supersedes his desire to do good, and it blinds him from understanding humanity. Then I think Doom suffers from that same thing, but I feel as though Magneto, and we talking 616 Magneto here, the trials and the sufferings that he's been a part of, being a mutant and then being of, Jewish background, and then going through the Holocaust and all that stuff, kind of helps him see, humanity and see what it means to be oppressed. And then I'm thinking about like Chris Claremont's run on X-Men and how he made Magneto so three-dimensional, and and like Magneto made some really good points, and he had like a lot of good growth during Claremont's run, right? Because there's even one point of Claremont's run where Magneto becomes the leader of the X-Men, and he's a totally different leader. Like he realizes that he allows the new mutants of the X-Men, because this was like when they had Sunfire and Mag, what the hell is her name? Magma? Yeah, and like damn, what is that boy's name? The new mutants.
Man, I wouldn't know.
Old boy that, yeah, I'm trying to think. Old boy that, damn it, Sam, what? Sam, what is his name? See, I can only think of his real person's name, Sam Guthrie. What is Sam Guthrie's X-Men name? Old boy who, like, flies. And he's like, he was actually, damn it, he was an X-Men Evolution. I can't remember his name now.
X-Men
That sucks
Evolution.
for
What
me.
was he? What did he do in X-Men Evolution? What's his power?
He flies. He's basically clear near to being invulnerable while he's flying or blasting. His
Cannon bolt or
catchphrase
cannonball?
is, yeah, cannonball.
Boom.
There we go.
Once you said X-Men Evolution, I was like, oh, I got some context.
Cannonball. Yeah. So like he allows them to, be like teenagers and also be mutants and all that stuff. He kind of like has a good grasp. He gets a fair grasp of figuring out how to be a leader and how to like make sure that his team is good. But overall, I think I would hope to extrapolate that and say Magneto would be a semi-decent, I guess supreme leader. Now, I don't know if he throws off of one of those, Magneto classical rage fits and, tries to end people, then I'm gonna be wrong.
It's very interesting because there's characters like it seems Marvel wants to get big and bad enough with your world conquest, you start getting noticed outside your own book. Like people can very easily imagine what Magneto's world takeover looks like, what Doom's. I just sort of want to know what like other world conquest heroes who we're not going that deep down, but at least like B class, so leader or the Mandarin. Like, what does their world takeover look like? I don't even know, but that was just because I wanted to say Magneto too. And I was like, dang, if I don't say Magneto, who else? And then I just realized I don't know what the rest of the stuff is.
Shoot, yeah, I mean, or even, I don't know if his would be really World Conquest, would it? I was about to say even Wilson Fisk, but I don't know if Wilson Fisk would be trying to take over the world.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah, at least I don't think he'd be outwardly trying to take over the world. He'd be in the back, I feel like Wilson Fisk probably owns the world already, true story. We just don't know it. We
Oh.
just don't know it.
Featuring the source of the Mandarin's powers being five rings, why has he never tried to upgrade to an Infinity Gauntlet?
That's a good question. Like, it's basically the glove with the five rings on them or whatever. Like, just rock with that, boy. Is he aiming too low? What's up? Would Doom look upon him
I don't think, at least in my Iron Man readings, that he's ever just crossed paths with the other big bads. He's normally
Right.
contained to Iron Man, but he does have world conquest as a goal.
Yeah, right. Nobody be mentioning him in the other books like that.
Yo, how much time we got left?
Think we probably got like 2, 3 minutes left, maybe?
All right, bruh. Fire off some rapid questions with no explanation.
No explanations, just random stuff for the listeners out there. Oh, one random stuff would be, would you Oh, one random stuff. Would you rather have the League of Assassins or the Hand?
The hand, because I feel like I can. Oh, the hand. Favorite
What
term in
about
the Camicidal Dictionary?
favorite? Oh, favorite term. Shoot, the new one, getting turtled. It kills me.
I'm gonna go with cactus juice.
That is good. That's a good one. Oh, that one more. So, Su Yin or Lin? All right. Lin may fall.
Yeah, just because I don't even know. That's what my gut is telling me, so I'm going to say Lin.
But anytime I mention Su Yin or Lin, I gotta also you gotta also make a moment of silence for Pilau. Damn, Pilau. That
Please.
was a hell of a rough yeah, that's a that was a hell of a rough way to go.
Let's see. Pokemon are real. You get one. No legendary.
Like, I'm gonna go with Bulbasaur.
I'm gonna take a Chimchar because that's like my spirit animal. Even though Charizard's my favorite, I gotta like mirror myself. What
Bet,
is your
bet.
profession? Are you a Pokemon trainer?
Yeah, I'm gonna be a trainer. I think I'd rock with being a trainer.
I'd probably still be an engineer.
It's like spirit. I would just be.
I'm gonna just chill. I'm gonna kick it. I ain't running around the world battling 10-year-olds.
Yeah, I feel like I'd probably just do it for traveling. I might be like Brock, just trying to see different Nurse Joys and Officer Jennies. I
Ever
think that's all the
notice
time
the
we got.
irony in all of that, that Brock wants to be a breeder in all facets of life?
Right? Yeah. Some. Son, Brock is just full of silliness.
Need a man though, except for when he be pointing out the obvious too much. That's another Camicidal
King
Dictionary term I like, Brocking.
Brockin. That's probably one of the catchiest one.
I got some
Yeah.
boys who use that who aren't even into like the wider variety of nerd stuff. I've got a boy who, since he heard it, was like, "Oh, gee, thanks, Brock." Pointing out the obvious, 24/7.
Oh, man. Yeah, man, Brockin. But yo, I think listeners out there, that might be our time, actually.
We hope there was a snippet of something in there that was worth listening to. You know,
Yeah.
maybe we'll try to do this at the end of every month, but the fun thing is the number's gonna change probably. It won't be 23 megabytes of fun. Next time, it might be the 50 megabyte palooza.
Hell yeah, exactly. We might just have a palooza. I like that. Palooza works. But yo, Camicidal fangirls and fanboys out there, hit us up on Twitter, at Camicidal Tahawks. Send us emails,
You
camicidalTahawks@gmail.com.
could even
Be
try to
safe out
tell
there,
us what to
y'all.
do at the end of next month.
Exactly. Peace.
This is